broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
This is a victory for the American people.
We see the marijuana trade fueling the drug cartels in Mexico.
There's people running all over the place.
Okay,
I just see him running out.
This is 911.
Famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And truth is our bitch on this show. We're going to take you to it somehow, some way, through the looking glass or beyond. We'll get you to it here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, as it is every night. And we've got lots to do tonight, and one of the things we want to tell you, of course, is our website at philhendryshow.com has live streaming video and audio of the show right this very moment. So if you've often wondered how we perform the show, you can take a look at us there. We also have up on our website our podcast, two podcasts from our classic files, from our archives, and we've just put up All You Can Eat Negro, along with... Plane Go Boom. So those are both podcasts available on our website, philhendryshow.com. Coming up later on in the program, we're going to have Don Mixa from the University of Washington to talk about a federal judge overturning the California gay marriage ban. Very big news today. A conservative group filed a lawsuit to stop the Ground Zero Mosque from being built. And Margaret Gray is going to join us in just a couple of minutes to talk about Harley-Davidson. Harley-Davidson, after 107 years in Milwaukee, could very well leave, and she believes that Harley-Davidson should leave the country. 877-876-PHIL, our affiliate spotlight tonight, San Antonio, KRPT 92.5 FM, and in Topeka, Kansas, WIBW 580 AM, two great radio stations along the Phil Hendry Radio Network. Don't forget we're on Twitter at twitter.com/RealPhilHendry and Phil Hendry Show, and we're on Facebook at facebook.com/PhilHendry. Margaret Gray joining us tonight from the Dicklin Syndicate, where she is a columnist and writes the nationally syndicated Little Bird Told Me in 150 newspapers around the country. Margaret, good evening.
Oh, good evening, Phil. It's great to be with you.
Tell me about the story here that Harley, after 107 years in Milwaukee, could leave.
Well, apparently that is the news. Harley-Davidson started 107 years ago in the city of Milwaukee, maybe looking for a new home. It's become very expensive for them to do business, obviously, in Wisconsin. This is a fairly typical story. It's a typically American business story, and a lot of businesses are going through this. Harley-Davidson is perhaps different from a lot of businesses in that we do see many American businesses relocating overseas. Harley-Davidson, in terms of what I have been able to find out, is simply looking for another state to go to, Phil.
Tell me what specifically in terms of the monetary problems they're having. What are we talking about here?
Well, really, it's no different than what happened reading the Reuters story that I have here. And the AP copy, you know that they lost Miller, Miller Beer. There are other companies. Miller, in fact, apparently they merged with Molson. And Molson, of course, has gone into business with Coors. So there's a lot of this merging of businesses and downsizing. In terms of Harley-Davidson, though, we're talking more in terms of the state tax, income tax, as well as employment tax, and so on and so forth. So they've got a lot of decisions to make, Harley-Davidson. They are a very well-known American brand, and that is something that I'm going to make really front and center in my column tomorrow, the fact that Harley-Davidson is so identified with our country, and I think has worn out its welcome in our country, Phil.
All right, now tell me why.
Well, I'm going to tell you why. You know, at one time, the motorcycle, as it was constituted originally around the world, was a way, a more economical way of getting from one place to another. It was used by the military briefly in World War II, mostly the German military. The American military did not take to using the motorcycle as much. They eschewed it in favor of the Jeep and smaller trucks. When World War II ended, the motorcycle began to take on appeal with people who love to race motorcycles. The American Motorcycle Association was born. There were a great many motorcycle rallies around the country, as there were before the war, but it really took off after World War II. But something very unfortunate happened, Phil, that has, in my opinion, and I think, you know, if you were to poll your audience, I think they'd agree. Something happened, Phil, to the motorcycle enthusiast, that forever, I think, darkened the Harley-Davidson brand, and that is the individual known as the one percenter.
Now, the one percenter is what?
The one percenter is that individual described by the American Motorcycle Association in 1948 when they said that most people that ride motorcycles are good, clean-living, and law-abiding people. Only 1% of motorcycle riders are lawbreakers, outlaws, and really are, to some degree, a menace to society. I don't think I have to remind people of what happened just outside the state of California in Arizona not too long ago in a casino in Laughlin, Nevada. It was an unbelievable scene of violence between a group called the Hells Angels and the
Mongols, right?
The Mongols, yes. These are 1%ers, and these people have forever tainted the name of Harley-Davidson.
Let me interrupt you here for just a second, Margaret, because that's where I think you may be a little unfair, saying that they have forever tainted the name of Harley-Davidson.
Harley-Davidson is the only product that I know of that has such product loyalty among its people that the Harley-Davidson customer tattoos the product's insignia on his or her body. Now, I've never heard that with any other product before in my life. That was started by the one percenter.
How do you know that was started by a one percenter? How do you know that wasn't started by a regular motorcycle enthusiast who just happened to love Harley-Davidson's?
I know you want to debate this, but I know you know what I'm saying, and I know everyone out there listening knows what I'm saying. Harley-Davidson's name has been tainted by their very active association with these outlaw motorcycle gangs.
And I think you're wrong, and I disagree with you. And no, I don't know what you're saying. No, I don't know what you're saying. You're saying...
I'm saying that Harley-Davidson has done very well for 5 or 6 decades that the outlaw motorcycle club person rides a Harley-Davidson. It's in their bylaws. They must, or they get stomped.
No, that's bullcrap. That's not true. Now,
excuse me. I'm sorry. Did you miss your club meeting for the Hells Angels chapter? I didn't know that you were.
No, Margaret. I can only tell you what I read. Sonny Barger write in his book.
And Sonny Barger is who?
Sonny Barger is who? He was the chapter president of the Oakland Hells Angels for years.
Well, Phil, I'm telling you that you get stomped if you don't ride a Hells Davidson or a
Harley-Davidson. No, that's not true. What he wrote in his book was, there's nothing in the Hells Angels bylaws that says you have to ride a Harley. I don't know why we're even associating Harley-Davidson with the Hells Angels. There's all other motorcycle clubs out there. But there's nothing in the bylaws that says you have to have a Harley. He did say, but we're stuck with it because it is kind of an image thing. In fact, he said he felt the best bike out there, I think, was a Honda. I forget which kind.
Phil, you know, I hope you bury your route home at night.
You know, why?
You just said that Sonny Barger said the best bike out there is a Honda. And I think that would be something that would get an individual into some trouble.
If you'd read his book, you can read his book. You can read Sonny Barger's book. He said, for my money, something like that, it's a Honda. But getting back to this idea that Harley-Davidson has actively, and that was your word, actively participated in the outlaw image.
I think that what Harley-Davidson has done, every woman that sees a man go by on a Harley-Davidson is instinctively frightened, Phil. Not just me. Every woman...
Everyone. What about the women that are riding Harleys?
Hold on for just a moment, please. I'm not talking about a lot of these women that want to pretend that they're Mamas or something like that. Any woman will tell you when you see a man go by on a Harley Davidson, there is an instinctive reaction. You protect yourself. You go by alleys. You go by the backs of buildings. And you look at those alleys and the backs of those buildings for escape routes. You get on GPS. And
why are you doing that?
You know what? It's an instinctive thing, Phil.
Well, yeah, but why is it instinctive?
You're instinctively looking for a way out of all these alleys because you feel that's where you're going to be dragged and raped. Because when you...
Oh, come on! But just seeing a guy go by on a Harley?
Watching the Harley Davidson insignia go by is something that puts fear into a lot of Americans. I don't want my son growing up to be a one percenter, or however you want to say this. I don't want him growing up, Phil, and looking at this band of individuals, this class of individual, and saying, you know what, that's an option for me. No, it is not an option. And I believe that Harley Davidson has done an awful lot, to promote this so-called one-percenter image. I'll tell you something else. I don't know of any other writer out there today that's saying the things I'm saying. And I'm a woman. I haven't seen any man write this. I'm a woman, and I have the courage to say that Harley Davidson literally makes me go on GPS and look for an escape route from behind a warehouse.
Because that's where you think you'll be dragged and raped by an individual.
That's exactly, and don't, if you think I'm crazy, Phil, and I know that you do, because you and I have known each other a long time.
Any woman out there will tell me that the same thing.
Any woman out there will tell you, when a Harley Davidson goes by, you press your thighs together. You really do.
And oh, my God. I mean, what you're basically saying now is that a Harley Davidson rider is a Hell's Angel. A Harley Davidson rider is, and Hell's Angels have gotten a bad rap. Not even those guys are criminal. You make them sound as if they got together yesterday, put together the club, and said, let's go out and rob banks and deal drugs. You know,
what else do you call? They are called one percenters for a reason. And
they're called 1%. They call themselves 1%ers as a joke. Look, this is not about the Hell's Angels. This is about Harley Davidson. And you're saying Harley Davidson ought to leave the country.
I am saying for the good of American business, we don't need companies any longer, Phil, that are celebrated for their scofflaw image, that are celebrated for their very, very lax attitudes toward American normalcy. And I think Harley Davidson, I think they've done enough damage.
And so you would be fine to see Harley Davidson move to another country?
I don't think we have a choice. I honestly don't. I mean, they've got, you mentioned it, they've got women, they've got businessmen, everyone preening and posturing as if they're in the Mongoloids, as if they want to be in the Hell's Angels.
Call the Mongols. All right, hold the line here for a minute, Margaret. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking about after 107 years in Milwaukee, Harley Davidson might leave Milwaukee and go to another state. Margaret Gray is talking about Harley Davidson. It would be preferable if they left the country because of the image that they have developed over the years, one of an outlaw organization that caters to other outlaw organizations. Harley Davidson, is their image the image of the outlaw? Or are they just a great American business that deals with lots of people? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
You really butchered it.
No, I didn't.
Show
877-876 Phil, welcome back. Margaret Gray on the line with us from Santa Monica. She is a writer for the Dicklin Syndicate and is writing her column tomorrow about the 107-year-old Harley Davidson company possibly moving from Milwaukee because of financial considerations. The company has made no indication whatsoever that they're leaving the country.
No, I know that.
So that happens to be your idea.
Let me tell you something. You know, this is a very unique point of view. I know that. And I know I'm going to have people who are going to say to me, oh, my God, this is an American symbol. This is an American company. How could you possibly want them to leave? I wouldn't want them to leave if it was a company that wasn't a fellow traveler to the outlaw organizations of this country, those outlaw groups that are on these Harley motorcycles. Now, there is a group called HOG, and I don't know if you know what that means.
Yeah, it's a Harley owners group.
I beg your pardon?
The group that's called HOG?
Yes.
It's called Harley owners group. That's the group of Harley owners.
Well, again, you don't know what you're talking about. A HOG is what Harley-Davidson riders call their women. They, in other words, they're a sow. They are a pig that they stick on the back of the bike. I don't know about you, Phil.
No, HOG is the name of the organization, Harley Owner Group.
I don't know about you, but I will not be looked at that way as a woman. And I don't care how macho a man feels when he gets on top of a Harley-Davidson. He's not going to look at me like I'm something that ought to be wearing a blue ribbon. And you know something, Phil? I know you think that's funny. But
well, it's a little amusing, but the fact of the matter is you got the term wrong.
No, I do not have the term wrong.
Yes, you do. H-O-G, HOG, Harley Owners Group. Let me take a phone call here. We've got Sherry in Alaska tonight on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Sherry.
Hi, Phil. Yeah, and I'm
yes,
with
hi.
You because if she misunderstands HOG to think it has something to do with her, she's way off.
No,
because it is the Harley Owners Group. HOG has nothing to do with you, Margaret.
I didn't say me. I said Harley owner, women that ride Harley Davidson. What do you think they call their women?
You know what? I used to ride a Harley with my husband, and we rode with a group of people that were all police officers and firefighters. It was a very respectable group of Harley Davidson
riders. If you ask police officers, they ride Indians. They also like the Hondas.
Well, that's not every cop. These are guys that are off duty, right, Sherry? So they're in a club, you know, and...
Well, I don't know what Sherry's saying. Police officers ride Indians. They ride Hondas. And I'll tell you something else.
Guess what? You haven't
commented on something else.
They ride Harley-Davidsons, too, and they
guess
love
what else?
Them.
And you haven't commented on the fact that...
They are high-quality motorcycle.
No, they're
not. They're very high-quality motorcycle.
Well, Mr. Henry,
Sonny Barger said in his book that he liked the Honda, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's not a good motorcycle.
Well,
but you're the one that was disputing what Sonny Barger said. The fact is, Harley-Davidson is an American brand.
Harley-Davidson is identified with outlaw motorcycle gangs. The reason why this woman rides one and all of her friends is because she wants to pretend she's a Hell's Angel.
Okay, but do you realize what 1% is? 1%? Do you realize what size of a percentage that is? So, yes, there's going to be
You probably know better than me. I'll bet you know better than I do.
All right. Thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Here is, Melanie, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, ma'am.
Yes, the comment that the lady made earlier that when she sees...
Another woman, she didn't address the fact that they are outlaws.
All right, let Melanie talk. Go ahead, Melanie. Yeah.
Her comment about that she felt that she was going to be raped by a man riding a Harley Davidson.
Every woman feels that to some degree.
No, they don't. You want to know what? When I see a man go down the road on a Harley Davidson, I'm attracted to him because what would make me think that he's some cold stone killer? No, just because he's riding an American-made Harley.
What would make you think that? Have you ever heard of the Hell's Angels?
I have.
Wait a minute. You can't say the Hell's Angels are a crime. Maybe there's some guys in that group that have been put in jail.
Phil, this woman is saying that when she sees a man go down the street on a Harley, she sees herself being passed around
Another thing, you use the term hog wrong. That's referring to the bike, not the woman on the back. It's the bike.
On the back is a sow, though.
No, you don't understand. The woman on the back is a woman on the back of a Harley, not a pig, not a hog.
I'd like to ask you a question.
Okay.
Just because you fantasize about being passed from one Hell's Angel to another
excuse me,
that doesn't mean it's safe.
That's not what she said.
No, what I said was, I was attracted to a man on a Harley Davidson. You act like every man that owns a Harley Davidson is a Hell's Angel. I have an uncle. He rides a Harley. He's not a Hell's Angel. He's just a fine working man. Nothing wrong
with him. An uncle. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll bet he's your uncle.
All right. Listen, thank you very much, Melanie. 877-876-PHIL. Margaret Gray about Harley Davidson, a bad symbol for America.
Phil Hendry.
Get some good calls.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. We have Margaret Gray on the line with us here as we talk about Harley Davidson, a longtime American label, American brand. And, of course, we talk so much these days about what do we make anymore? What does America make? What do we manufacture? And I told my audience, Margaret, a few weeks back, I said, you know, when I was a kid, I would hitchhike to the beach down Rosemead Boulevard in Pasadena, and I would go by a Ford Motor Plant. A lot of people don't know that Los Angeles, the second largest manufacturer of cars.
That's right.
Behind Detroit. And we made a lot of things all over our country. What do we make? Harley Davidson is something that we make. It is a brand that is beloved. People, as you said, they tattoo the product brand, the product label right onto their skin. Now, they're thinking of leaving. You want them to leave the country. And
no, I look at, you know, something, what we need.
No, but you want them to leave the country because you think the perception of that company.
So this is not a perception. Let me say something.
You think the perception of that company is one that traffics with outlaws?
Let me say something. There is no denying the fact. And you tried to say something earlier about Sonny Barger saying that the Honda was a better motorcycle. And
I'm just quoting what he said in his book.
Look, there is no denying the fact that the one percenter that I'm talking about, the outlaw motorcycle club gang, the outlaw motorcycle club gang member, or whatever they call themselves, is a Harley Davidson rider. Now, I want to address this Stacy before.
Well, I got to get to a phone call.
Let me just finish saying what this Stacy. She called up and she thought she really got me when she said, "Oh, and my husband and I, we ride with police officers." Well, guess what, Stacy, if you're listening, I would bet you dollars to donuts that those are cops ready to go bad. They want to be bad, they want to look bad, and now they're on Harleys. I think they're probably just days, if not hours, away from shooting a suspect and planting a gun on him.
Boy, that, you know something, that's almost slander.
What are you talking about?
That's saying, in other words, if I'm on a Harley Davidson and I'm a cop, that means I'm about to commit a felony as a police officer.
Bill, Don't start playing Perry Mason. But
well, don't start saying things like that on my show. Hi, I'm a cop. I think I'll ride a Harley. Oh, gee, the evil spirit's getting to me. And
I didn't say evil spirit.
Well, you're saying something about how the Harley just naturally attracts evil people. You know,
would you deny that Harley Davidson attracts people that are outlaws? Would you deny that?
I will simply say that Harley Davidson is a very well-known brand of American motorcycle that appeals to a certain kind of American mentality and intellect. And say what you will about one percenter motorcycle clubs, those people are, a lot of those guys are former military.
Phil, don't try to gussy it up.
No, a lot of them are former military, and a lot of them are politically very conservative people. 877-876-PHIL. Let me get to a phone call here. Stacy in Nashville. Go ahead, Stacy. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray.
Hello.
It's very interesting how you interpret politics.
How you doing, Stacy?
I'm wonderful. How are you, Phil?
Fine.
Great. I just wanted to comment that, I mean, if you're talking to motorcyclists, to them, the Harley Davidson image
is
basically.
Who's she talking to?
She's talking to us.
My name
Go
is
ahead.
Stacy. I live in Nashville, Tennessee.
Right. Who are you talking to? Who are you talking to?
Excuse me?
Who are you talking to?
Who am I talking to?
Yes.
I'm talking to Phil and yourself, Miss Margaret.
Oh, okay.
But, yes, no. But what I was saying was your comment about the Harley Davidson image is the Harley Davidson, Phil keeps calling it an American brand, which it is, but more importantly to me, it's an icon brand. It's the American Eagle of motorcycles. Motorcyclists that are actually, you know, they really care about motorcycles. They want to ride motorcycles.
It's not even a very good motorcycle. You don't even know. If you do your research, you know that it's not even the best motorcycle made.
No, it's not. Yeah, it's
BMW
not the best
makes a better bike. Phil even mentioned that Honda makes a better bike.
Yeah, you were arguing with me about it.
I was arguing that Sonny Barger would say that.
The point is that people that just want to ride a motorcycle for the image of riding a motorcycle will choose a Harley because it's such a name brand. And the name brand is what's important about Harley, not the American
brand. That's wonderful,
brand,
dear. And that's really not what we're talking about. What I'm talking about is that Harley Davidson
is embraced
more and more by very negative people. And very negative people, including outlaws, one percenters, people that my son, your son, may
yes,
want to emulate.
I've heard what you've been saying.
When you drive your car by a person on a Harley, you don't squeeze your thighs together.
I'm sorry. I am 23 years old. I am a single woman who lives in a relatively large city in the South.
Yes.
If I am in a dark alley, I'm not trying to escape somebody who's riding a Harley-Davidson motorcycle. I'm trying to escape somebody that is hiding in a dark alley. I don't go into dark alleys to escape Harley-Davidson. I don't go into dark alleys at all. In fact,
I
would probably rather grab a ride with a Harley-Davidson rider than go into a dark alley.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. You grab that ride from that Harley-Davidson rider, and you wind up in a dark alley.
No,
you wind up looking for an egress from the back of a warehouse.
No better than to go into dark alleys.
Clinton Davidson. Who's that?
Harley Davidson.
Are going to
be
corporate.
You don't get it, do you? If you get a ride from
a
Mongoloid, and the Mongoloid will take you there.
The Mongols is the name of the group. Is that what you're talking about?
The motorcycle gang.
Yeah, they're not the Mongoloids, the Mongols. And there's the Hells Angels, and there's others. What this young lady is saying is there are CEOs riding motorcycles. There are all kinds of people riding motorcycles.
I know all about the wannabes. I'm not talking about the wannabes. I'm not talking about the men that wish they had the guts, the sheer guts,
the
to join the angels.
The angel, driving other brands.
Angel devils.
All right. Thank you very much, Stacey. 877-876 Phil, what did you call them?
Who?
The angels?
The
Hell's Angel.
The Hell's Angel.
The Mongoloids and the Angel Devils. You gotta, you know, are you writing an article on this?
Phil, what I'm writing an article about is not some, I'm not doing an encyclopedia on American outlaw motorcycle gang. What I'm doing is writing an article about the negative image Harley Davidson has, what it has done to our country, and why it is time for Harley Davidson to pick up and move. Move somewhere where they love that image. Move to Germany. Move to Belgium. Move to Russia. They love it. They love the whole image. They love the outlaw image. Not here, not now. Not with a black president.
What do you mean, not with a black president?
Because you know that those groups don't like that.
Margaret, I've told you, when you're on the air with me, people can hear you.
Because you know that those outlaw groups don't allow blacks.
Have you ever heard of the East Bay Dragons?
Oh, great. One black motorcycle club, the East Bay Dragons. So Barack Obama's supposed to join them?
What are you talking about, Barack Obama? You just said to me there's a black president and these outlaw gangs don't let, their outlaw clubs don't allow blacks.
And then you said have him join the East Bay Dragons.
I didn't say anything of the sort. I think what's happening here is that you have become so intent on vilifying the name Harley Davidson for whatever reason, and it may be personal, that you're beginning to concoct all kinds of strange things.
What do you mean by personal?
Well, you keep talking about how when you see a guy in a Harley go by, you pull your thighs together, you start looking on GPS for the best way out of an alley.
That girl, you heard that girl. I'd rather get a ride from a guy on a Harley. Well, good luck, sister. Because you're going to, if anybody needs a GPS way out of an alley, she does. And I suggest you get the iPhone because they have it on the iPhone.
Well, I find it almost borderline slanderous for you to say what you're saying. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Tina in Winston, North Carolina. Tina, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray. Go ahead, please.
Hi, how are you tonight?
Yes, ma'am. I'm good, thank you.
I'm listening to this thing, and I just want you to understand, lady, that if anybody needs to take a GPS and find their way out of anywhere, you need to take your GPS and find your way out of this country and leave Harley Davidson and the bike clubs alone.
I don't think so.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. You've got a warped sense of reality, because Harley Davidson has nothing to do with the bike clubs. Yes, they ride them. That's because that's what they prefer. But I have many, many, many fine friends who are not outlaw affiliated with any biker gang, and they ride Harleys. And the reason why they ride Harleys is because that's what they prefer.
I'm going to tell you something.
I do not clench my thighs, nor do I fear being raped by them or anyone else on a Harley. Something's wrong with you if you are that afraid of other human beings. You need to maybe go to church, or maybe go talk to your minister, or get right with God.
This is a law enforcement issue.
Law enforcement people ride those motorcycles.
And I think that if you see a police officer, I think those are cops ready to go bad. I think they're ready to go bad.
Oh, you little woman, you are
what do you
crazy.
Mean?
I think you're looking at a cop that is gonna go rabbit on you.
What do you mean, go rabbit?
He's going to take off.
Why? Because he's on a Harley? You know, the cops originally rode Harleys. You know, the California Highway Patrol, the first bikes they were on were Harley Davidsons.
That's a filthy lie. They were Indians.
A filthy lie. Okay, well, excuse me. I wasn't lying. If they rode Indians, all right, they rode Indians. And by the 50s, they were on Harley Davidsons. Did that make them outlaws?
Why do you think they stopped riding Harleys? Because the angel...
The Hells Angels.
The Hells Angels started to ride them. Thank you.
Let me tell you something.
Thank you.
I'm in North Carolina, and there are still cops here that ride Harleys. Those cops do not go out and purchase their own Harleys and put police stickers on the side of them. The police departments buy them for them, and they ride them because that is no different than the cars that they would ride in from the state agencies that purchase them. Mm-hmm. So those cops are not getting ready to go bad just because their agencies put them on a cotton picking Harley Davidson. You have lost your crazy mind. And as far as your son, if your son has not been raised up any better than that, that you have to be worried about him becoming a one percenter, then that's your issue. But that is not the majority of this country. The majority of this country likes Harley Davidson.
We drive by them, and we're on the freeway, and my son, as soon as you see two of these Hell's Bells, they go by, and my son's all, "Oh, Mom, look at the outlaw motorcycle gang people," and he's all excited.
Because of the way you're bringing him up, you're instilling that fear in him. You're instilling
He's not afraid. He wants to be one. He's not afraid.
Oh, well,
that's what scares me.
I have a 14-year-old grandson.
Little kid want to be. Yeah, little kids see that, and they go, "Wow, look at those guys. They look cool."
Exactly. Don't they look cool? These one percenters who want to drag me behind a warehouse.
Old matchbox car, Harley Davidson motorcycle. Barbie doesn't. There are a lot of. So do you want all of those other places? See, you look at Harley Davidson as being a bad image for the United States.
My son wants to be a member of an organization while I get dragged behind a warehouse.
You
heard what I said.
Behind a warehouse.
Oh, you're not going behind a warehouse. A warehouse.
You know, Phil, I'm a woman, and this lady, we understand. I know we disagree, but both of us can agree. You laughing at the idea of me being dragged behind a warehouse.
Clear. Nothing that
exactly.
you are saying makes sense to me, because evidently you are not educated enough to even be talking about this subject.
I shouldn't be afraid of being dragged behind a warehouse. Thank you. I'll make note of that.
Yes, you should not be afraid of being dragged behind a warehouse and being raped just because somebody's on a Harley Davidson.
Some dude's on a Harley Davidson. All right, thank you very, very much for your call, Tina. 877-876-PHIL. We are in the middle of a discussion of Harley-Davidson, the brand. We're not talking about the Hells Angels. We're talking about Harley-Davidson, although Harley-Davidson is a company whose product, whose motorcycle is preferred by a lot of so-called 1% motorcycle clubs. Margaret Gray is of the opinion that Harley should move not just out of Milwaukee, where they're considering leaving, out of the country. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with more here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. And I just wanted to get to the story. We got Margaret Gray on the line as we talk about Harley-Davidson and their impending move from Milwaukee. And what Ms. Gray considers to be, and I think it's a very unfair characterization, we're having this debate, an American a corporate brand that is a negative brand because it's been associated with so-called 1% motorcycle clubs. Harley-Davidson, though, is considering moving from Milwaukee, and I'm going through the story. To be honest with you, I don't think I saw a particular town mentioned, but they are leaving. It is an economic consideration. There are 1,630 manufacturing jobs in Wisconsin associated with Harley-Davidson. So this is quite a move. And I have to tell you, just as an American, because I'm into American tradition and American symbol and American history. To see a company like Harley leave a city like Milwaukee, which you so long associated with Harley-Davidson, it's like seeing the beer companies leave Milwaukee. And sometimes I ask myself, am I just being an old-timer? Time marches on and things change, and we have to accept that. But still in all, Margaret, you want them to leave the country.
Well, Phil, that's where you and I differ. I'm not, I am older, but I'm young in terms of how I think. I think like I'm 22 or 23, and to me, change is good. Change, change, change. Let's shake it up. Let's get rid of the dry rot. And in the case of Harley-Davidson, while, yes, they are an American icon, I think there's a lot of rot going on with a company that gleefully is a fellow traveler and does business with these one percenters with their ZZ Top hair and their, just everything. And the women, God.
All right, 877-8, whatever that means, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to another phone call here. We have Robin in Houston, Texas. Hi, Robin. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray.
Whatever it means.
Hi, Phil.
How you doing?
I'm good. I am a first-time listener. I have listened to you for a total of about 30 minutes. And
yes, ma'am.
I'm shaking. Okay, Margaret, I would just like to request that you hear me out, please. I have a
But I don't know what Phil means about, what he said.
That's fine. Let's listen to what the lady has to say. Go on, man.
Okay. I've got a very, very dear friend, a late friend. He passed away a couple of years ago. He was an avid Harley rider. He would go to some big event I think they had out west every year, he and his girlfriend. And he was one of the top agents in the FBI. And he would tell me that a great many of the agents and police officers and firemen and so on were also Harley riders. And I think it is a totally unfair characterization on your part to say these things. And when I pass a Harley, I look at it and go, oh, that's a really nice bike.
How did your friend die, if you don't mind me asking?
It was health-related issues.
Well, when you say
health-related,
do you mean a bullet went through his head? Is that the health-related?
Oh, come on, Margaret.
What?
That's a hell of a thing to say.
Well, she said it was health-related. And, it is health-related when a bullet tears through your skull. That's health-related.
Well, yeah.
That's a terrible thing to say to some... That's a terrible thing to say... No, Robin, you don't have to answer. That's a terrible thing to say to someone who just lost a friend.
She said he was an FBI agent. I think it's fair... In the interest of public interest,
he was retired, Margaret.
All right,
ma'am,
went off. Did his motorcycle go off an icy road?
You know what? You hear more about priests, and I'm a believer in God and the Lord, but you hear more about priests doing damage, and they have, you know, the reputation is far worse than Harley's. So I think you're totally valid in what you say, and I don't think
priests that ride Harley Davidsons.
There are priests that ride Harley Davidsons.
Yes. So what does she say to that?
So a man what do you want me to say? Davidson,
goes in and molests a child and then comes out. It doesn't make him bad. He goes.
I'm trying to point out that you trying to say just because people ride Harleys that they're gangsters and they're out to rape people and all
of
this.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the Harley brand now has a stench about it. It has a stink.
So do priests. That doesn't mean
and
no
a lot of them ride Harleys.
There's a few bad apples in all walks of life.
If a priest gets off a motorcycle, goes in, molests a child, and gets back on his bike, and goes and has a beer.
Oh, you know what? Anyway, thank you very much for your call, ma'am. I appreciate it. We'll be back with more from Margaret Gray on the Harley Davidson issue. Harley leaving America. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 877-877-867. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, there's people running all over the place.
Okay.
I just see him running out. He's running away.
I think
away
it's
right
a great day for the United States of America.
What do you think it's going to be like in West Hollywood?
We particularly don't need the mosque in this particular area.
Now, many will say, well, why are you dropping the line at marijuana?
Then Bill O'Reilly
is a closet homosexual.
Ass covering.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast here from the El Pacifico and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what the nose knows, baby, what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and every night we go through the looking glass to find it. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We have on the line Margaret Gray, who is discussing with us Harley Davidson's decision after 107 years to leave the city of Milwaukee. And we're going to go a few more minutes here with Margaret on this topic because it's an American topic. It's an American company, and it's an American company. It's not leaving the country, at least, but they are considering leaving. In fact, they will leave Milwaukee. Whether they leave the Midwest or the Northeast, I don't know. It seems to me this is a union thing, and they're probably going to look for a state where things aren't so unioned up. But Margaret considers Harley-Davidson to be a brand that is tarnished because of its association with 1% motorcycle clubs. We'll continue talking with her about that. Our website, philhendryshow.com, live streaming video of the show right now. If you go over, you can take a look at us on video, listen to live streaming audio, get downloads of each and every show, as well as downloads of our classic Phil Hendry clips, which are from our archives. Just go on over to philhendryshow.com. We'll direct you to the right spot, whether it's iTunes or Bookmark or one of those other places, philhendryshow.com. And also, we're on Twitter, twitter.com/realphilhendry and Phil Hendry Show. So Margaret Gray with us. I'm going to turn off the chantays here for a minute. Margaret Gray joining us again this hour. So let's talk, Margaret, here. As we've had a few minutes to think about this, we've got people that we're going to be hearing from as well. You started by saying that Harley Davidson should not just leave Milwaukee, they ought to leave the whole country.
Well, you know something, Phil, we've had this discussion in our country now for the last, I don't know how long. It certainly, it peaked during the presidential campaign when we had Barack Obama and we had John McCain saying, we're going to penalize companies that leave America. We are not going to allow them to take all the big tax breaks and all of the tax credits. I don't care if Harley Davidson leaves America. That's the difference between Harley Davidson and another company.
And you know, Harley Davidson should be commended that they're not leaving America.
No, I don't think they should be. That's the difference between you and I. You're saying Harley Davidson, a company that whose symbol is worn by motorcycle outlaw gang, motorcycle club gang, people, is you think that's admirable. I don't. I would rather my son grow up in a society where a brand name isn't something that I have to fear. where a brand name on the side of a motorcycle isn't something that I look at, and I bust out my GPS to find the quickest way out of the area. Where a brand name on a motorcycle isn't something my son sees, as he just did 3 days ago, right here on the 101 freeway, and then turned and looked at me, and may God have mercy on me for saying this. And I think you have to be a mother to understand what this feels like. My son saw this Harley-Davidson motorcycle go by. He turned and looked at me, and I don't know if there are other mothers out there that know what it feels like to be looked at by your own 11-year-old son. And he has the look of rape in his eyes. His own mother. And
oh, please! Are you...
No, excuse me, what do you mean, oh, please?
You're telling me that your 11-year-old boy saw a Harley-Davidson go by and immediately looked at you with a look of rape.
I am telling you, Phil, I don't joke about these things. I don't joke about these things. I love my son very much. But he saw this Harley-Davidson go by, and he saw the motorcycle jackets that they wear. And
what, he saw a Hell's Angel?
He saw some motorcycle jacket, and he just looked so excited, as any little boy, I guess, would. And he turns and looks at his own mother, the woman that almost died giving birth to him, with a look of rape. And I can tell you, Phil...
Well, if you really saw that, then I would have taken that boy directly to a psychiatrist.
How dare you? How dare you?
How dare I? You just said something that would shock any woman if she actually saw what you said you saw.
If she actually saw. So in other words, I'm making this up.
No. I'm not saying you're making it up, but I don't know why you didn't take that boy directly to a psychiatrist.
I'll tell you why I didn't take the boy directly to a psychiatrist. Because I've got a break. I have a break in my car. Do you know what that means? It means I can get off the freeway. And once I get off the freeway, I'm away from the Hell's, you know, the Hell's Davidson mentality.
The Harley Davidson.
The Harley Davidson, yes.
So in other words, getting your boy away from that.
And I think every mother, you know, Phil, it's not a unique perception to say in our society we have things on television we don't want our kids to see. In our society, we have things in movie theaters we don't want our boys to see. So why is it so unusual and difficult for you to understand that going down the road is something else I don't want my son to see, especially after he saw these members of these Hell's Davidson groups? And he looked at me with a look in his eye, almost as if, I can't really describe it, but it was almost as if it was the movie Serpico, and I'll cut you. You know the boy who had the knife?
No, okay, I understand. And I would take that boy to a psychiatrist, you know?
My boy does not need a psychiatrist, Phil.
No, that's right. You just need to keep him away from the Harley-Davidson insignia, and he'll be fine.
I say that we have codes for PG, parental guidance.
And we need to have that now for the brands of motorcycles. Interesting. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here. I've got Lee. Lee, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Margaret Gray. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Phil. I think that she needs to see a psychiatrist. I am 40 years old, 5'2", 100 pounds, and I've been riding a Harley-Davidson for 10 years. Do you mean to tell me that if you saw me down the road on a Harley, you would be in fear of rape?
I think you've. I think you've been broken in.
What does that mean, broken in?
I think she now is officially, you know what.
She's now officially. What does that mean?
I think that for that woman to be running around on a Harley Davidson with men who run around on Harley Davidsons, I think you know what I'm talking about.
I own my own, and I ride my own. I don't need a man to ride my motorcycle.
I understand that, but I think to hang out with those men, I think you have to...
I didn't say I hung out with the men. I said I ride my own. I've also had Kawasaki Hondas. I've had Suzukis. I've had many different bikes. I prefer the Harley.
Well, I'll tell you this. I will say this. If I saw you on a Harley Davidson, you know, there is such a thing as rape in a woman's prison. So,
oh, God almighty. What a thing to say. You know, you just met this woman.
She asked me a question, and I gave her an answer.
I feel sorry for you, Margaret, and I feel sorry for your child, and I feel like that your child needs to be removed from your home if you're going to instill that type of fear in an 11-year-old. For an 11-year-old to see a motorcycle and see rape, an 11-year-old should not even know the fear of rape. So I don't know what
he's not afraid of it. He's not afraid of it. He was looking at his own mother wanting to commit it.
Because of the fear you have.
You're telling me that your own son wanted to rape you.
I saw that look in his eye as clear as the azure skies at dawn.
How do you know the look of rape in your child's eyes? What has happened to this child under your care that he would even know that look?
If his skin is green and he is drooling, does that give you a
clue? That doesn't sound like the fear of a motorcycle. That sounds like other problems.
It sounds to me like the boy's got...
Well, I don't think you're listening. He doesn't have a fear of motorcycles. He wants to be on a motorcycle. He wants to be a marauding road warrior that carries his... All right, I'll say it. That carries his own anal ease.
Excuse me?
Your son wants to be a marauding road warrior that carries his own what?
I'm not going to repeat it. But it comes in a jar.
So, Margaret, because Harley-Davidson has a motorcycle brand, your son is going to become antisocial. That's basically what you're saying.
Because the antisocial people are attracted to Harley-Davidson insignia. Now, this woman just said, I said to her...
Why do you know I'm not antisocial at all?
Well, you said if you were on a Harley-Davidson, yes, I still would clench my thighs together. And you didn't say a word. It was almost as if I could hear you saying, smart girl.
She didn't do that. Didn't you say, ma'am, Lee, didn't you say you worked in a
correctional facility? Yes.
Yeah.
And I went through every background check, fingerprinting, everything.
Okay.
There's nobody more sane and secure than I am.
Well,
and I do ride my Harley.
Right. You ride a Harley. You work in a women's prison, and your name is Lee.
No, I don't work in a women's prison. I work with juvenile corrections.
I don't know. What is a juvenile?
Juvenile.
Oh.
Lee, thank you very much. Thank you for your call, and thanks for your hard work out there. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to take a break here because there's an awful lot to digest. We talk about Harley-Davidson. It's an exciting and it's a very romantic insignia and brand name. It represents an American-made motorcycle. And they're thinking of leaving Milwaukee after 107 years and moving to another state where they don't have the overhead that they had in Wisconsin. And Margaret Gray feels differently, that Harley-Davidson represents some kind of an antisocial one-percenter motorcycle gang brand. And they ought to move just the hell out of the country. 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. So what do you have?
This is, lyrically, I want you to pay attention to this, Phil, because when we talk about Harley-Davidson and we talk about the marketing that they did over the last 107 years, it's really amazing. Listen to these words and tell me where you've heard them before. I like smoke and lightning and heavy metal thunder, racing with the wind and the feeling that I'm under. Yep.
That's Born to be Wild.
Excuse me, but I...
Well, isn't that Born to be Wild?
That's nice, Phil, that you know that. It would have been more... I think it would have worked better had you just pretended that you didn't know the song, because I want to set up a feeling here. Good for you, you know the song.
Well, I was a disc jockey for a long time.
Well, I don't know what that has to do with what we're talking about.
That's the song Born to be Wild by Steppenwolf was a popular song.
If you could, just like a true nature's child, we were born to be wild. We can climb so high, I never want to die. Now, when you hear those lyrics, what do you think of? Like a true nature's child, we were born to be wild. We can climb so high. You think of a monkey. You think of some kind of a primate. Who is president right now? Don't answer that. This is what I fear. I fear that Harley Davidson...
Wait. Are you telling me that that is a reference to President Obama?
I'm going to let it sit there, and I don't want you to comment. But I fear that we've gotten to the point now where marketing a brand of motorcycle is now very political. And that Harley Davidson, with this anti-union move, calling Obama a monkey...
They're not calling Obama a monkey. That was a song that was done over 40 years ago by a band called Steppenwolf, Born to be Wild. It wasn't even written by anyone that I know of that had anything to do with Harley Davidson or politics. And I think that that's irresponsible speculation, in my opinion. 877-876-PHIL. Here's Bruce listening to us on The Truth in Denver. Bruce, go ahead. You're on The Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, you know, I have to agree with almost every caller who's called in. You know, first of all, I just want to say, because nobody said it yet, but there's about a third of my fellow soldiers, airmen, sailors, and Marines. They ride motorcycles, and most of them ride a Harley. And the characterizations and the blasphemy and the slander that you are speaking against our fellow servicemen who are serving overseas is downright wrong. I think that you haven't done a lick of research. I think that you haven't done a lick of research. If you cannot even say the proper names of what the 1% is, you have no business writing an article on that. And thirdly, your over-characterization and over-stereotyping, I'll let you talk in a second. Your over-stereotyping is basically, I don't know, are you trying to get a job as Janet Napolitano's, you know, next secretary so, you know, you can help her decide who's the terrorist in America?
Whatever. You know, I'm talking about the motorcycle gangs. The 1%. How many Marines do you know that are in the Hell's Angels? How many Marines do you know that are in the Hell's Angels? Am I talking about them? All right, then I'm not talking about them.
You're talking about everyone who rides by on a motorcycle. You're using a 1% and putting it on an entire brand.
Everyone who rides a Harley.
I said about the Harley Angels only.
No, you did not. You said every time you saw a Harley Davidson, you clench your thighs together.
A natural response. Any woman would have it.
It's not. And you know what? Harley Davidson is leaving Milwaukee because of the unions and everybody else in that northeastern region. That's why the car industry is failed. That's why Harley Davidson's leaving. And I hope they go somewhere like Texas, where it's a work-free state, where they don't have to deal with that. But that has nothing to do with monkeys or the president or anything like that.
Then why does the song say...
out of your mind.
Why does the song
really
say, true to show, we can climb so high?
Just because it says we can climb so high doesn't mean they're singing about a chimpanzee. And because Harley Davidson may have an issue with unions, they're not the first American company to have an issue with unions, and that's where that's at, you know. And that doesn't make them evil. It may make them anti your political persuasion.
I think, Phil, you know, it's amazing how people delude themselves. All you have to do is go out here on the highway and look at the way these motorcycle road warrior, whoever you want to call them, and they're all on Harley Davidsons, and my son admires them so much, he looks at his own mother like a piece of meat.
Hey, your Kawasaki's and your Yamaha's are more dangerous to your son than a Harley Davidson, because those are the guys who are zipping in and out of traffic at 150 miles an hour with no regard for life.
Those guys are complete punks.
Who?
Those jackasses on those rice burners.
So look at the racism, and you accuse me...
Oh, it's not racism. Rice burner is not racist. It means it comes from Japan, and you know what? I'll keep calling it that. And those guys are dangerous. I agree with this man.
So in other words, a man can go buy at a Harley Davidson with his Hell's Davidson insignia, and you two men would go ahead and toss your women to them. Isn't that brave?
Well, you know,
I
wouldn't toss my wife to any other man. So anyone who's out there tossing their wife to another man, they've seriously got some issues.
You know, if you were really honest, you'd say that every time you saw Harley go by, you clenched something together too. But you're not honest. You know, this is...
Okay, you know, that's a ridiculous, asinine notion. Thank you very much for your call, sir. 877, clench something else together, huh?
I think, Phil, that what's happened tonight... is that I came on with a very courageous point of view, and I have been thrown out of a car behind a warehouse.
877-877.
You don't have anything to say to that, do you?
No, I don't, really. No, I don't. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Aaron in Charlotte, North Carolina, listening to us on WBCN. Go ahead, Aaron.
For one thing, if her son looks at her at 11 years old, like he's going to rape her, then her son has issues, and he needs help.
Yes, he does have issues. You're right. I agree. And the issues are these. He sees too many Harley Davidsons on the road.
No, it has nothing to do with Harley Davidsons on the road. It's the way he was raised. If your son is looking at you like a piece of meat, your son has issues. And that
has to
do with parenting.
His skin is green. His skin is green.
He needs a medical doctor if his skin is green.
It's not supposed to be green.
It sounds to me like he's having some sort of an epileptic seizure.
His saliva is clustered at the edges of his mouth. And you're saying it's the way he was raised?
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Well, Margaret, you're sounding more unbelievable, okay? You're sounding far more unbelievable when you say that he looks at you like a piece of meat because of the Harley Davidson insignias that he sees. All right, Aaron, thank you so much for your call. Our number, but I agree with you, Aaron, 100%. 877-876-PHIL.
So, in other words, you're saying that when my son's skin turns green, and...
Your son's skin turns green? That's a physical reaction. We'll be back with more from Margaret Gray and the issue of Harley Davidson leaving Milwaukee. Should they leave the country because their insignia, their symbol, is a symbol of the one percenters? It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I vote yes.
Phil Henry.
Oh, my God.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. What? Phil Henry.
I don't want you preempting what I'm doing.
I'm not preempting what you're doing. We're back with Margaret Gray. How was I preempting?
You're auditioning songs that I wanted to get to later on in the program. Go ahead and play the songs we're going to play. But I want people to know that I'd already planned it.
Well, it was just the song here by Davy Allen.
Just play the song, and I want to make sure that people understand. Yeah, this is called Blues Theme. Bill, turn it down, please. This is called Blues Theme.
It's Blues Theme by Davy Allen.
Yes, would you turn it down? Yes, this is called Blues Theme, and it was from a motorcycle movie. I can't shout over it.
Margaret, you asked me to play it. I'm sorry if you're having to shout over it. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Margaret Gray on the line as we talk about Harley Davidson. They're not going to leave the country. You want them to leave the country, though, don't you?
Absolutely.
You don't care, really, do you? You think they're so bad, they should just go ahead and book.
I think they need to book out of this country because of all the companies that would leave America, and they would leave us no poorer. It would be Harley Davidson. Even though I understand about their all-American image. Well, I have to tell you something, Phil. Even though I've been laughed at, any company that would inspire an 11-year-old boy to wheel on his own mother and look her up and down like she was a piece of Las Vegas meat. They can't move far enough away from my kid. Thank you very much.
Boy, I'll tell you, you know, that's about as sick as it gets, and I do not agree. I'm telling you right now, I agree with the people who were calling. I think there's something wrong with your son.
Very easy to blame my son, isn't it, Phil? Very difficult for you to go up against corporate interest.
Oh, come on.
Yes, a corporate interest, yes. Everybody in this country talks about corporations and corporate interest until it comes to me and my son. Michael Moore, let's ask him what he thinks about corporate interest. Let's ask him what he thinks about Harley Davidson. I'll bet you he'd agree with me.
I'll bet you he would, that fat pig. I'll bet you that pig would agree with anything that you have to say that has anything to do with degrading how Americans feel about corporation, about company, about brand name, about value, anything. I would believe that.
Oh, my God. You must be really jealous of him.
Oh, yeah, I'm real jealous of him. Who, Michael Moore?
You must be. Do you wish you were him?
Do I wish I was him? What, you mean 5 minutes away from a heart attack? No, I don't wish I was him. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Jackie in San Antonio, Texas. Hi, Jackie. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Margaret Gray. Go ahead. Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to go ahead and let her know that, I mean, I come from a union here, down here in San Antonio, Texas. We are union electricians. We are building America one building at a time. And most of these guys that I know, they have the money to support their fellow brothers out there that are building these motorcycles. They are building them, and we're over here buying them so we can ride on them. We can enjoy this craftsmanship, this unique craftsmanship that these union boys make up there. You mean to tell me
they're not making it anymore? They're leaving Milwaukee because they don't want to pay the union wage. Now how do you feel? Yeah.
You know what? That's fine, because you know what? All us union brothers, we are going to have a talk about that. Trust me, on Capitol Hill, we will talk to these guys about it, see what is up. Okay, we back.
I'll tell you what's up. Harley Davidson doesn't want to pay these union workers. And I say good riddance to Harley Davidson.
That's fine. You know what? But I would much rather have a Harley Davidson in between my legs as opposed to a Kawasaki or a Yamaha, one of those rice burners, might I add. Because that is
you
not
know something
that
I
is
find
not
that
racist.
Very
no,
racist.
That is not racist.
I think that's
because
very racist.
That isn't racist.
We make fun of Toyotas that way. We make fun of Mazdas that way. All of those are rice burners. I drive a Chevy.
You know, you are talking about having something between your legs.
GMC, Union Make, Cadillac DeVille. Okay, most of these boys, we ride in Chevys, we ride in GMCs. Why? Because we make sure that America gets taken care of before those guys overseas get taken care of.
Let's talk turkey. Do you like boys or girls?
Don't answer that.
Do you like boys or girls?
Regardless of my sexuality, I am taking care of my brothers here in the United States of America before I take care of those Japanese guys over there making their little crotch rockets, making sure that these young butts over here are making their little wheelies or, you know, flipping over their face and crashing. You understand?
I think they're cute. Those boys could do the wheelies.
Those guys are jackasses. Those
regardless
cats don't
of my
ride
sexuality,
well.
I'm probably more patriotic than you are, ma'am. I have to tell you, I am probably more patriotic than what you are.
I think it's time that America acknowledge.
What do you drive?
I have a Mercedes-Benz.
Oh, a Mercedes. Originally a German car. If I'm not mistaken, still a German car.
Excuse me. That's different.
No, it's not different. No, it ain't different. How's it different?
It was a great car.
By the way, Hitler loved them. Hitler owned like 20 of them.
And so you are telling me that I'm a Nazi because I like a Mercedes-Benz.
Sure, why not? That's what you're saying. If you like a Harley Davidson, you're a 1%er. I'm saying that if you drive a Mercedes, you're a fascist Nazi. Because Hitler had 20 of the damn things.
You know, you're going to burn. You know, I'm not religious, but somehow I feel you will burn after you die.
You know what, Margaret? Anywhere that I go after I die, as long as it's away from you. Thank you very much, Jackie, for your call. 877-876-PHIL.
As long as it's away from me. You are the rudest individual, Phil, because you're losing the argument.
No, I'm not losing. Margaret, if you say to me that Harley Davidson represents an outlaw brand, they cater to outlaw people, they've been bad for kids in America, your son sees the Harley Davidson brand and suddenly he turns on you like your Las Vegas meat. So don't you think I have every right in the world to say, well, as long as you're riding a Mercedes-Benz, you're a damn Nazi?
Do I look like I'm goose-stepping down the street? No. Do I?
Look at, you've had a parade of people saying that they know people that drive Harley Davidsons. They're not 1%er. They're not they're not in a motorcycle club of any, you know, disrepute. Nothing like that.
I have heard people denying the truth. I heard that one woman saying, oh, I don't fear men when they're on a motorcycle. Well, no, I guess you don't when you're a lesbian. God, open your eyes.
My eyes are open. 877.
No, I don't think they are.
My eyes are open. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Ken in San Francisco listening to us on KNEW. Go ahead, Ken.
Hey, how you doing, Phil? Thanks for taking my call. Listen, lady,
yes, sir.
I want to say this. I ride a Harley Davidson. I'm in the building trades. I do hardwood flooring. I'm law-abiding for the most part. I mean, I don't break any laws, anything like that.
For the most part. Is that what you said?
I like to ride. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
And I think that Harley Davidson leaving Milwaukee is terrible. I don't think they should leave the country, no. It's an economic reason, I guess. But, you know, frankly, you know, lady, you really have an unrealistic sense of thought here. You have a problem. You have a very, very serious problem. I think it's a case of wishful thinking. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Where did he go?
The gentleman is done with his comment.
Well, I don't think that's fair at all. Because what I had to say, first of all, Phil, let me, if I could, and I just take up a couple of moments of your time. Here it is. Yeah. Is the gentleman still there?
The gentleman, no, he's gone. The gentleman in San Francisco's gone.
I like smoke and thunder.
All right, look, I heard all about your theory on Obama.
Will you please allow me? I like smoke and thunder, heavy metal thunder, racing to the wind, feeling on it, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, darling, gonna make it happen, explode into space. That is about as foul as it gets, to explode into space. And then we have the monkey climbing the tree. Do you understand, Phil, what this does to an 11-year-old boy who suddenly turns and looks at his own mother as if she's Miss January?
I don't understand at all.
No, I bet you don't. You've never looked at your mother as if she was Miss January.
No, I haven't looked at my mother as if she was Miss January. No, I haven't.
Then you don't know what you don't know what my son and I are going through.
No, I don't.
And you're laughing, too.
Yeah, of course, Margaret, you know, there comes a point. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Karen in Akron, Ohio, listening on WHLO.
There comes a point what?
Here, hello, let me just go to my caller. Oh. Yes, ma'am, how are you?
Hi, Phil.
Go ahead.
Great. I wanted to make a comment. Every year in around the Kent area in Talmadge, the Harley guys get together and have fundraisers for disabled American veterans. They raise Toy for Tots. They're some of the greatest guys I know, and I have no idea where this lady is coming from. I really don't. I mean, everybody, every group in America
Pardon? All right, Karen.
Yes?
You don't recognize this. You recognize that?
Yes.
Okay, what is that?
That is Born to Be Wild?
No, that's called Blues Theme.
Okay.
And it's about the blues. It's about the blues, but... Well...
I'm my son, and...
Isn't this the motorcycle song? Uh-huh.
Hello, yes? I can hear the music in the background.
I can hear you laughing, and you may think it's funny, but...
But you're stereotyping the whole group. You're making them all sound like they're evil people, and they're not. They're some of the best.
You know, I've heard people say the same thing about Muslims. But you and I both know that Muslims,
what?
Given the chance, will kill.
No, they won't. And again, I think it's absolutely right. Don't do that to people. Don't stereotype people. Don't group them all into a bunch of, into one group of murderous thugs.
This woman, Karen,
there are mothers who will kill people. There are people who have abortions and kill babies. In every group, America, there are people who kill and rape.
Ride a Harley Davidson? Do you ride a Harley Davidson?
No, I don't.
All right.
There you go. When you see one go by,
do you clench your thighs together?
I've been
Do you clench your thighs together?
No, because I don't want to feel. See, you feel every time you clench your thighs together, so maybe that's why you clench them.
You know something? You're really kind of slutty.
I've been married for 35 years.
You know.
She's very slutty.
All right. This lady's been married a long time, and...
Well, in a moment, I want everyone to listen, because what I've been talking about, climbing on top of a tree...
There's nothing in the song about climbing on a tree. Karen, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Are you talking about Born to Be Wild?
I'm talking, if you would please allow me to unveil what I'm going to do. Because when you say, oh, Born to Be Wild, and, you know, I get it, Phil, that you know the song, but no, you didn't know it until I brought it up off the air. And then you want to jump out and tell everyone that you know about it before I get to.
Okay, Margaret, so this is about you telling my audience that you're going to play a song, and I'll let you tell them the name of it, and you're going to do what?
I'm going to point out to them the clues in the song as to the degenerate nature of Harley Davidson and how President the election of President Obama was predicted.
In the song?
Yes. And I know you think I'm crazy, and I know you're wink-wink at your staff there. Doesn't matter to me.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, our final segment with Margaret Gray in a moment.
Phil Hendry. Listening to the world famous Phil
right.
Hendry Show.
But Ms. Gray, all right, so we're going to have this song that you say, and I know the song, and the audience knows the song. Do you have the lyrics?
I have a lyric.
Yeah, all right. Tell her that means
Frank, you know, I have gender confusion. Tell her.
Meaning me, right?
Yes, that we have this. I know. All right, is Bud Dickman there?
Yeah, right here.
All right, I'm going to count it down. And what I'd like to do here is just simply do a very quick countdown. I'll sing the song, and I will emphasize those parts of the song, Phil, that I think need emphasis. So if we can just go ahead. No, not yet. Not yet. Not yet.
But not yet.
I got it.
Not yet. Would you tell that drooler not...
Now, hold on, Bud. Turn the thing off. She doesn't want it on yet, okay?
I didn't know.
Not yet. I'm going to count it down. One, two, three, and a one, two, three, and a one, two, one, two, one, go. Go! All right, so I'm going to sing it the way it was originally recorded by John Kay and Steppenwolf, because I think that gives us a clue as to the meaning. Get your motor running. Head out on the highway, looking for adventure, whatever comes our way, yay. Yeah, darling, gonna make it happen, take the wheel.
Hold on.
Kill the music. What do you want?
Well, the way you're... Get your motor running, head out...
That was the way it was originally recorded. God Almighty.
That's the way they did it originally.
All right, I'm sorry.
God Almighty. All right. One, two, three, and a one, two, three, and a one, yeah. Is the host there?
I'm right here.
All right, would you please listen and direct your audience's attention?
Folks, please listen to what Margaret's doing here.
Get your motor running. Head out on a highway. Head out on a highway, not the highway. That's something else people get wrong. In whatever comes our way. Yeah, darling, gonna make it happen. Take the world in a left. All right, so you know how it goes, right? Now, we're going to get to a part here, Phil, where, like a true nature's child...
Yeah, I know. And so why couldn't we just cue to that part of the song?
I want to get people here. And a little thunder... Racing with the wind and the feeling that I climbed under. So here, all right, now here is the very first significant line of the song. Fire all of your guns at once and explode into space. All right, here we go. True nature's child, monkey, born to be wild, wild chimp. Climb so high, going to the top of the tree. I never want to die. Now he's on the bamboo. He's on the long vine. So this is really what we're talking about, Phil. And when I talk to, and I've talked to an awful lot of mothers.
You've talked to a lot of mothers, huh?
I beg your pardon?
You've talked to a lot of mothers, huh?
Yeah.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, that whole thing that you just did.
The song is called Born to Be Wild.
I know what it's called, and I know about its motorcycle, the motorcycle meaning, the wild cat on the road thing, easy rider, I get it. But for you to say that, like a true nature's child, we were born to be wild, that's a monkey climbing to the top of a tree.
Yes, and then who gets elected president?
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Rebecca. Hi, Rebecca. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hey, first of all, woman, you're nuts. I mean, it's people like you that sit there and create stupid prejudices and stereotypes. I guess you think black people need to be monkeys as well. Number two, we are living in
a racist song.
Okay? Number one, we are living in an economy where we are fuel is in crisis. We are in a crisis of center taking, burning up all of our fuel. It is a fossil fuel, meaning that it cannot be simply reproduced. All right? A motorcycle is simply a cheaper means and more efficient way of center using that fuel. All right? Number two, yes, Harley Davidson is an American-made vehicle. It is an American-made vehicle, which keeps the money in our economy, not in everybody else's pockets, like your car, as I heard. But the biggest thing is most people are driving
an American-made vehicle by criminals.
It is more. You know what? You're sitting there, listen to yourself. If you just sit back and listen to yourself,
made
I mean, it's like
by criminals.
It's people like you that no, they ain't. There's lots of people out there driving motorcycles simply because it's a hell of a lot cheaper than a damn vehicle. How much do you sit there and take a spin the fuel tank on a damn motorcycle?
Gotta watch your language. Watch the language there. Watch the language, Rebecca.
Did you hear the filth in her mouth? Rebecca, listen to this. Do you know this song?
You turn that off. Go ahead, Rebecca. Sorry.
Thank you. The fuel tank on an average car is anywhere from 10 to 20 gallons. A fuel tank on a motorcycle is only 1 gallon. And you can travel the same amount of distance on both. So do the math.
You can travel the same amount of distance after robbing a bank.
It don't make me a criminal. It don't make
after
me a
after robbing a bank, you get more gas mileage.
I sit there and believe in saving the freaking earth. I don't want to stare and use a
I agree
gas
you get more gas mileage on a Harley Davidson after you hold up a liquor store.
Bush was in office and gas was $5 a gallon? Do you remember that? You remember $5? Go ahead and try your 15 minutes of fame, honey, because you're just trying to get people thinking you can sing. You can't sing.
No.
And Barnes B.
Wrong.
Wild has got nothing to do with the freaking Harley Davidson.
Bush was not in office when it was $5 a gallon.
It might talk about driving on the highway with a motorcycle, but it has nothing to do with the Harley Davidson.
You don't know anything about motorcycles. You don't know anything about how they're made. You don't know anything about how people ride them. You don't know anything about how women ride them. You know that women are not allowed to spread their legs over the fuel tank. You know why?
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
I personally hope that, in fact, the building of this community center would actually be...
people running all over the place.
Okay,
I just see him running out.
We have other battles ahead of us, but with this decision...
This is 911.
Hey, this is Charles Barkley. I'm a dumbass.
Can you dig it?
It's a world-famous Phil Henry Show till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Where truth is our bitch, and we go through the looking glass and beyond to wrap our arms around it. Every night here till the aforementioned times, and, of course, online at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. Go over, watch a live streaming video of the show, listen to live streaming audio of the show, catch all of our archives, catch the downloads, catch the new Phil Henry Show classic download. This week, we've got for you Plane Go Boom and All You Can Eat Negro. All of these, of course, free of charge, free little classic clip downloads for you. But get the Daily Show download as well. But whatever you do, get it.
And get it good.
And get it good, right. So Bud Dickman's here. Robert Leonard, how you doing, Robert?
I'm doing good. I want to hear about that movie star.
We're going to talk about the highest paid movie actresses here in a minute. A federal judge overturns the California gay marriage ban, too, and 40 billionaires pledge to give half their wealth to charity. And, of course, that's tax deductible. Now,
So that's what I was saying, too.
Of course it is, man. So they're going to give half their wealth to charity. I'm not saying that means they get all their money back, but it is a tax-deductible item, so they'll get some kind of a break in terms of their taxes. And giving half of your wealth to charity when you are so filthy rich that you're depressed you have so much. That's how rich these guys are, you know?
What do you mean?
I mean, they're so rich that they're no longer happy. Now they've gone over to the other. They're sad that they've got a lot of money.
Yeah, they think about all the bad things.
Yeah, they're thinking about how, oh man, another trip to the bank, you know, and how many houses do I have? That means that I have to, you know. So they're bummed out. So if they can give half their bread away, you know.
Yeah, I can't imagine ever being so rich be depressed.
Bud, we're kidding around a little bit, okay?
Yeah, man, I mean, you took that serious? Oh my God, man.
Yeah, but you guys were making a pretty good case.
Well, I bet you it's probably true that you could have so much money. I mean, so much money that you don't even know how much money you got, and maybe at some point that does bring you down a little bit. It wouldn't bum me out. The thing that would bum me out, you know what would bum me out?
What?
If I had so much money that it was all on paper. In other words, it wasn't cash. It was all stocks. It might all, you know, all, it, there wasn't enough of it liquid, you know? And by liquid, I mean I want to be able to feel the money. In fact, I want it in gold doubloons. You know,
you don't want to have like stock market and all of that.
Yeah, but every rich guy got a stock market. Everybody know about that.
Not every guy. No, not every guy's in the stock market. I'd want to have so much bread. If I had that much bread, I'd want to have. I wouldn't feel good unless I had about 20% of it completely liquid in gold.
Where are you going to go with gold?
I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing, man. You know, that's what I would want. All right, but we're not talking about me having money, because that's not going to happen. Not much. Anyway, 877-876-PHIL. Oscar winner Sandra Bullock becomes Hollywood's highest paid actress. Now, I say actress because, you know, there's one other category, actor. And I don't know how much those guys make, but maybe we'll find out. We do have a list here of the women. Sandra Bullock, $56 million. What does that mean? That means $56 million per movie. $56 million per movie. That's what she gets. Now, Sandra Bullock's movie, The Blind Side, budget was $29 million. Its worldwide gross was $309 million. The Proposal's budget was $40 million. Its worldwide gross, $317 million. Miss Congeniality's budget, $45 million. Its worldwide gross, $212 million. So what you have there are three examples of Sandra Bullock movies that make serious dollars, and that's why she makes the serious dollar.
Yeah, I don't get something. If she makes $56 million and a movie costs $40 million, then how do they do that?
Well, they don't pay her, man, right? They'll pay her after the movie, after this. They'll pay her up front against what they figure they're going to earn.
Yeah, but they're going in the hole.
No kidding, man. That's what you do, baby. You go in the hole. You go, you know, you go into debt a little bit. So she's a proven box office draw. There's no question about it. Now we come to Reese Witherspoon is second with $32 million. She's way down the list, man. Look at Bullock. But we, you know, we just read the numbers on her.
Well, she got some serious. She makes some serious money.
Yeah, absolutely. But Reese Witherspoon, $32 million. That's not a drop in the bucket. Reese Witherspoon's a fantastic actress. By that, I don't mean that Sandra Bullock isn't. But you see Reese Witherspoon play a lot of character stuff.
Yeah, she played like a redneck one time. It's funnier than hell. And like a white trash girl and stuff like that.
Yeah, she does. She plays a lot of different characters. So she's $32 million. Cameron Diaz, $32 million. Now, Cameron Diaz, that's one that I don't get, you know. I just don't get it. I mean, I can see Sandra Bullock. She's fun to watch on the screen. Reese Witherspoon is great. Cameron Diaz, I don't get that at all, man.
Well, what do you mean? I mean, like, you don't like the way she's ugly or something?
No, not that she's ugly, man. I don't get how she commands all that bread. That's all.
What about, like, if you saw Charlie's Angels, man, she's wiggling her butt and everything?
So she wiggled her butt in Charlie's Angels. So what?
Yeah, but that's worth $32
million. $32 million, huh? Because she wiggled her ass in Charlie's Angels. Okay. Jennifer Aniston. Now, here's one that's a real mystery to me. And, I'm sorry. How does she get $27 million a picture? Because we did the math here off air, and I was talking to Rance. And I said, name me a movie that she's done that's been a big box office killer. And he came up with one, which was the Vince Vaughn movie, The Breakup.
That's pretty good.
Okay, that's pretty good. How many movies has she made, man?
She made, hold on, man. She made,
You can't even think of a movie she's made.
Yeah, I can. She made, oh, man. What was the name of that one movie she made? Oh, yeah, Bruce Almighty.
Bruce Almighty, nobody went to see that movie because of her. They went to see Jim Carrey.
Yeah, that was a movie that made a lot of money.
Yeah, but it didn't make any money because of her. You could have put anybody in that part. They went to see that because of what's his ass? What the hell is what was she in Office Space? Is that what you're telling me? Okay, so she nobody went to see Office Space for Jennifer Aniston. Nobody went to see Bounty Hunter for Jennifer. And Bounty Hunter was a stiff anyway. Office Space was funny. All right, then anyway, Jennifer Aniston, $27 million. Now we have Sarah Jessica Parker, $25 million.
Now that's an interesting one because everybody says her nose is too big.
Well, that goes to show you what everybody knows, man. Her nose may be too big, but guess what? She makes enough money to have people interested in... Now, of course, I give her the benefit of the doubt. Why is that? Because I just happen to like her. I think she's a damn good actress, too. I think Sarah Jessica Parker is a lot of fun to watch. I don't know. Julia Roberts, $20 million. Now, Julia Roberts is a good actress, okay?
Yeah, you just think she's a piece of ass.
Shut up. Ow. No, I don't, as a matter of fact. Angelina Jolie, $20 million. See, these are the women that you would probably think would be way at the top of the list, wouldn't you?
I think that Angelina Jolie would be way higher up the list than, like, Cameron Diaz. I don't even... That blows my mind. And that was not one black woman on that list, either. I just thought I'd point that out. Not one damn black woman on that list.
Well, you know...
Nobody wants to go see a black woman. If they do, it's only because it's a black movie.
What the hell are you talking about, man?
Name a black woman everybody want to go see.
What about Halle Berry, man?
Halle Berry, so what? What up, so what? Who cares?
She got an Academy Award.
Yeah, they had to give it to her on account of they hadn't given one to her yet.
What are you talking about, man?
They had to give Halle Berry an Academy Award because they hadn't given one to a black lady.
Man, that is wrong. That was a good movie. You're a racist, man.
No, you're the racist.
You guys shut up about it. I don't give a crap about whether they gave it to her because they hadn't given one to a black lady yet. Halle Berry's a good actress, fine. She ain't on the list. What do you want me to tell you, Robert? There's not one black actress on this list because nobody wants to pay her because they don't like to pay black people that much.
Dan, you said it, man. You said it.
Yeah, that's bull crap.
I'm just saying it to spice up the conversation. Anyway, number 8 is Drew Barrymore at $15 million. Number 9 is Meryl Streep at $13 million. And then Kristen Stewart, the star of Twilight, at $12 million. And there you have it. But Sandra Bullock, Cameron Diaz, Sandra Bullock, and Reese Witherspoon way at the top of the list. And Bullock with $56 million. And Witherspoon and Diaz at $32 million. And then Drew Barrymore and Angelina Jolie way down at the bottom, man. They are poor. They are sucking air. That's how lousy their payday is. I mean, that stinks. That just stinks.
Matt, are you serious?
No, I'm not serious. All right, 8778.
You're not serious, man. I really stink. They're really hurting.
I don't know what telling the truth or not.
I'm not telling the truth, all right? All right, 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming back here in just a couple of minutes, we'll be talking about President Obama. And apparently there was a target practice game with him as the target. Now, I don't know who these imbeciles are. I don't know who figured that it was okay to make a target practice game with the President of the United States as the target, but it's against the law. We'll talk about it when we come back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, 877-876-PHIL and also philhendryshow.com. That's our website. Go, enjoy. Go and do and enjoy. It's the best value in the history of the planet Earth when it comes to radio comedy, radio entertainment, when it comes to new media, because we've got hours and hours and hours and hours of archived material as well as our live downloads and our live streaming audio at $6.95 a month, Jim. I mean, please. All right, President Obama target game yanked. Carnival game allowed people to shoot black men with presidential seal. This is from something called the Morning Call. I would take it that as an American newspaper. Yes, it is. The president of a Hellertown, Pennsylvania-based amusement company apologized Wednesday for a target shooting game depicting the image of a black man that appears to be President Barack Obama. Now, the guy's name is Irvin Good Jr., president of Good Time Amusements. What, bud?
Is he Jew?
Will you stop already, okay?
Man, what do you got to jump in on that for?
Because the guy's name's Irvin.
Well, who cares? Just let's just look at this for what it is, okay? What, to start calling into question everybody's racial background?
What are you getting so mad about?
I don't want you bugging me in the middle of me reading a news story. Is he a Jew?
Yeah, man, like, even you know me, man. Even I want to hear the whole story.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Because I'd be the first guy to figure out if that guy's a Jew or not.
You know, I'm going to tell both of you guys to back it way off.
What?
What do we do?
Just back it way off. You let me make the cracks. I don't want to hear any more racial crap, Jew this, nothing. You understand?
All right, so
I understand what you said. I don't want to hear it, and I don't want to hear anything about he's black, she's black. That's on account of he's black. I'll just kick your asses out of here. You understand?
I didn't do that.
He did, and I'm telling you too.
All I said was, if
I don't care what you think you said, man. I don't want to hear it. You know, it ain't funny. I know you guys think it's funny. It's not funny. The president of a Hellertown-based Pennsylvania company apologized, an amusement company apologized Wednesday for a target shooting game depicting the image of a black man that appears to be President Barack Obama. Irvin Good Jr., president of Good Time Amusement, said he did not intend to offend anyone by offering the game called Alien Attack, which recently appeared at the Our Lady of Mount Carmel Big Time Fair in Rosetto and sparked a complaint. It was at some Catholic grammar school fair. I guess we made an error in judgment, and we apologize for that, said Good, who's had the game for about 6 weeks. I voted for the man. It wasn't meant to be him. If they took it that way, we apologize. Well, it wasn't meant to be him, huh? The game depicted a black man dressed in a suit holding a rolled-up piece of paper labeled health bill. The man also sported a belt buckle fashioned after the presidential seal. And he's black. So who do you think you're kidding, jackass, huh? You know, this is what people are doing now. Oh, gee, I didn't know that. Like that one bitch that had that thing, that toy she was giving away. She was selling these baby dolls. She had one baby doll. It was a black baby with a banana and a chimpanzee next to it. And this stupid bitch says, oh, I didn't know. Geez, we've been in business for, you didn't know, huh? You knew. You thought the mood of the country would think it was fantastic. But when you found out that people didn't think it was all that funny, then you had to go back on plan B. Oh, well, I'm just caught unawares. I didn't know it was supposed to be Obama. All it is the health bill and a presidential seal on his belt buckle, and he's black. How would I know that that's supposed to be Obama? Like the man said, you know, I was born at night, not last night. The White House issued a statement Wednesday through spokeswoman Moira Mack saying it disapproves of using the president's name and likeness for commercial purposes. The longstanding policy precedes President Obama. In other words, it is a longstanding policy that presidents do not like the office of the president, the image of the president, used for commercial purposes. And I would say that that was a very restrained comment coming from the president. But he can't come out and say, I don't like this racist attack on me. Because that becomes even more politicized, and it just isn't going to do him any good. But any idiot can see that's exactly what this is. Healthcare bill, presidential seal and a belt buckle, a black guy. Federal law prohibits anyone from knowingly displaying any print or likeness of the presidential seal. Violators can face a fine and up to 6 months in jail. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Philadelphia declined to comment on whether or not it's looking into the matter. The U.S. Secret Service did not return a call seeking comment. All of this is expected. They got better things to do than to give a comment to Christopher Baxter of the Morning Call. But you know full damn well they're going to look at anything that looks like it is a blatant threat, or at least thinks a threat to the president is funny. Good said the game's design periodically changes and has again been changed to no longer depict the image of the man. It was designed by one of his workers, Good said, and he should have realized it would create a problem. But because he's a little thick and he's a money-grubbing bastard, he decided to look the other way and just, you know, siphon all the bread for himself. Good Time Amusements has been in business for 26 years, but he ain't having such a good time right now. Good said he received one complaint about the game after it first appeared. He said he decided he would remove the game if another person complained, yeah, sure, which happened during the recent Rosetto Fair, which dates to 1883 and raises money for black people. I'm kidding. No, for a church. The Reverend Jim Pryor of Our Lady, a parish of the Diocese of Allentown, was not available for comment, according to a woman who answered the phone and sometimes sleeps with him. I'm kidding. That was unfair.
Oh, man, you can't say that about priests if you don't know.
I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. Matt Kerr, spokesman for the diocese, said Pryor would have pulled the game had he known it was there. But it's a good thing he didn't know it was there, so he didn't have to pull the game and have a whole bunch of parishioners get mad at him and say he doesn't have a sense of humor. But Catherine Chapman of Medford, Massachusetts, said her family told the church about the game. She visited the fair July 24th as part of her family's reunion, which has been held in Rosetto for decades to celebrate the family's roots in the Italian borough and its namesake, Rosetto Valforte of Italia. She said her brother Bob, a very Italian name, noticed the game the night before and told her she had to see it. Ha 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 ha. When she visited the next day with her 14-year-old son, she said she was gabberflasted.
What's that?
It's the same thing as flabbergasted, except it's, like, worse. She said, I couldn't believe they would have a game where you could shoot any president, George W. Bush or President Obama, and that there were targets on the forehead and the heart, and you could win a prize for shooting the target. I don't think a lot of people understand that it is against the law to threaten the president of the United States. That's number one. Number two, it's obviously against federal law to do something about it, to actually harm the president of the United States. Number three, there are a number of things that can be taken as threats. If you produce a game that looks like Obama and people get to shoot at it, that can be taken reasonably as a threat against the president. Hey, what's with the game? I don't like him. Oh, really? Well, we're not going to leave this up to some kind of an interpretation. We're going to just determine that you don't like the president. You're threatening him because you got a game here. He's got the presidential seal. He's got the health care bill. It's a black guy. It's the president. You got people shooting at him. You're under arrest. How does that feel? Well, you mean I can't? No, you can't. No, you can't. No, you're not allowed to. Well, I thought this was America. It is America. Yes, it is America. Well, I'll tell you what. We had a president killed. We've had four of them killed, gunned down in cold blood. And we don't want to see it happen again, and we don't think it's funny, and we've made it a federal law that you can't do anything to the president, and that's just where that's at, man. Kind of like bald eagles and, counterfeiting money. In fact, the same guys that protect the president are also the guys that protect the money. Because the president is the money.
Right on.
So anyway, all's well that ends well. She said, you got a stuffed animal for becoming a sniper. Good God almighty. This guy, Irvin Good. Irvin Good is bad, man. Irvin, dude. You know, you're just not fooling anybody. And these people, they come up with their excuses about how, oh, I didn't know. I'm telling you, you guys can believe it if you want to. This is one kid here. I don't buy it.
You don't buy it like when that lady made a black doll.
I didn't buy it for a minute that she thought, oh, wow, I didn't know it was racist to have a monkey and a banana next to that black baby doll. No. 877-876-PHIL. An unlikely coalition comes together to support legalizing weed. Next on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Weed.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Chris Matthews
is a closet homosexual.
Thank you and welcome to Judge Overturns California Gay Marriage Ban.
I am gay.
Now, a federal judge overturned, I mean, we got a million of these, so a federal judge overturned California's same-sex marriage ban Wednesday in a landmark case that could eventually land before the U.S. Supreme Court to decide if gays have a constitutional right to marry in America.
I can't feature you in this one, man.
Yeah, me neither, man. It totally blew my mind.
You guys don't understand why I support gay marriage.
No. It's not now. Everyone knows. I'm not saying that I'm against a gay person, okay? That I want to be very clear about. But I want to say that...
Boy, that's a nice belch, bud.
Yeah, man, you can't belch.
I had to.
You know,
I'm just saying, how can you be for it?
Yeah, because it's not natural that two men are going to do, you know, what they do.
Guys, I'm not going to debate this with you. We just happen to know that there are gay people in our society, in our world, that that happens to be the biological reality. We have enough evidence now to know that it is not a choice.
See, I think it's a lifestyle choice.
Yeah, me too.
Well, that just shows how stupid both you guys are.
You can't just say I'm stupid because I disagree.
Oh, yes, I can. I can say you're stupid for the reasons you just gave me, but I'm not going to debate it. Gay people have been around for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. They're not insane. They've been in all walks of life. They've been generals. They've been janitors. They might even have been presidents, for all we know. And, you know, and now they want their rights under the Constitution. Now, do you mind if I read this without your comments?
Yeah, but I just don't think, you know.
That's fantastic, bud. I'm so happy. A federal judge overturned California's same-sex marriage ban Wednesday in a landmark case that could eventually land before the U.S. Supreme Court to decide if gays have a constitutional right to marry in America. And God forbid I should mention that that's where a lot of stuff having to do with black people having rights wound up, the Supreme Court of the United States of America, because then Robert would get all upset with me that I'm comparing black people with gay people, right?
Yeah, that's right, man. That's not fair.
Well, that's too bad, because that's what I'm doing. Chief U.S. District Judge Vaughn Walker made his ruling in a lawsuit filed by two gay couples who claimed the voter-approved ban violated their civil rights. This is what we were talking about 2 years ago on this show. You guys aren't going to get anywhere, man, until you take it to the courts, baby. Take it to the freaking courts. Gay couples waving rainbow and American flags outside the courthouse cheered, hugged, kissed as the word of the ruling spread. This is a victory for the American people. It's a victory for our justice system.
Yeah, okay, so how can... All right, explain this then. Forget about whether or not I'm in favor of a gay. How can they do that? People voted for it and everything.
This is what I've been trying to tell you guys. You could vote for anything in this country, but if it's unconstitutional, it's unconstitutional. Don't you understand? Why can't you guys get that?
No, I don't understand. If the people ain't that constitutional, people vote for something.
What if we all voted that slavery should be reinstituted?
No, man. No, you can't.
Yes, I can. I could. What if we all voted that black people go back to being slaves? What if we all voted for that? That you can't do it. It's unconstitutional. It would be unconstitutional. You'd have to change the Constitution back to a time when it was all right to enslave black people, whenever the hell that was. I doubt seriously whether, if they actually looked at the constitutionality of slavery today, with or without the amendments that eventually gave black people a right to vote, they'd probably say it was unconstitutional. But the fact is, even if the American people, by a landslide, by a unanimous vote, voted for something, if it's not constitutional, here's what they got to do. Rather than vote for the law, you got to vote an amendment to the Constitution.
Yeah, but that's what they did. They put an amendment in everything.
To the California State Constitution. To the California State Constitution. But federal law trumps state law. If the federal charter says it is unconstitutional, then it could be a state amendment, which I think is what it is. California's got the stupidest, most asinine process. You can get about 16 people together to stick their thumbs in their ears, man. You can make that an amendment, because all it takes is a popular vote. But the fact of the matter is, it is unconstitutional because the federal government charter, the U.S. Constitution, which is preeminent among all constitutions, says it ain't cool. Do you understand?
No, I don't understand, man. I don't understand.
Yeah, because if you say that it's constitutional, okay, I understand about it. But the California, you say the California Constitution is not bigger than America?
Well, what do you think, bud?
Yeah, well, it's got to be California.
What do you think, man? You think the California Constitution is bigger than the American Constitution?
In California?
No, you idiot, no. The American Constitution is bigger than any of them.
Okay. Oh, are you kidding me?
I'm not. Why would I kid you, man? Where do we live?
California.
Forget about California. Where do we live? What country do we live in?
America.
Okay. The American Constitution. We live in the country called America. Now, we got a California Constitution, and we got a Missouri Constitution. We got all kinds of constitutions, but there's only one federal charter, and that's the United States Constitution. And you got to make sure it's constitutional. You can have an amendment.
All right, what if they got an amendment on American Constitution?
Yeah, okay, what about that?
Then it would be constitutional. You could pass an amendment that says no gay marriage. It is now a part of the U.S. Constitution, and gay people could not be married. If you got the states to do that, you got to get three quarters of the state legislators to go along with it. Legislatures, that is.
What's that?
Those are the bodies that vote, okay?
It's like the Congress, like every state got a Congress.
Oh. Like every state has a Congress, right. So you, first of all, the bill passes in the United States Congress. Let's make gay marriage unconstitutional. Once it passes, then it goes to the states. And then the states vote on it. If three quarters of the state legislatures all over this country agree that gay marriage should be unconstitutional, that there should be a ban, then that becomes a constitutional amendment, of which we have many. You look at the Constitution, how many do we have? 30, something like that? We've got a lot of amendments. The first 10 are called the Bill of Rights, but we've had a lot since then. That's the only way that people who are in favor of banning gay marriage are going to get their way, make it a constitutional amendment, period. Because what they're asking for, banning gay people from marriage, is patently, clearly unconstitutional because it violates equal protection under the law.
I don't understand.
Yeah, me neither.
You guys understand, you just don't want to understand. That's your problem.
I just don't understand about it.
Yeah, I know. I know you don't. All right, let's check out some of the audio we have for you on this story. Here is one of the plaintiffs, I think. This is plaintiff Chad Griffin speaking to reporters after the decision.
Our rights are fundamental. They're the birthright of every American. That's why the American Foundation for Equal Rights took up this landmark case. We challenged in a court of law the flawed, unconstitutional arguments that long have been used to deny Americans their rights. That gay marriage, the love between two adults, is somehow a danger to society. That how we are born, our sexual orientation, not our love or personal commitment, somehow defines a marriage.
Griffin's attorney, Ted Olson, also spoke to reporters this afternoon after the decision.
This is a victory for the American people. It's a victory for our justice system. When our individual rights are taken away, when the majority decides that an unpopular group of individuals should be treated differently, and they can't succeed at the ballot box because they are unpopular, because they are a minority, because they are viewed differently by a number of people in the populace, they turn to the courts of the United States, and we have a spectacular constitution that values equality and values fundamental rights and values an independent judiciary to protect and vindicate those rights.
Now, you know what's interesting is Ted Olson was a, I believe he was an attorney for George Bush, and one of the other attorneys in this case representing the plaintiffs was an attorney for Al Gore. And so it was fascinating to see that Gore's attorney and Bush's attorney, Ted Olson, who's the other lawyer in this case, Rance? It was the, God, the guy's name is on the tip of my tongue. Nonetheless, it was David Bowles, right? And so, or David Boyce, is that how it's pronounced? David Boyce. And David Boyce, who was Gore's attorney, and Ted Olson, who was Bush's attorney, the two of these men joined together to represent this gay couple in this argument before the before this federal judge. All right, Olson says the fight isn't over, but he's optimistic.
We have other battles ahead of us. But with this decision, carefully analyzing the evidence, we are well on our way toward an ultimate victory. And that nothing could be better for the American people, the people of California, in particular the people of San Francisco.
Now, Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard went out today and got some on the street. You guys got some on the street interviews?
Yeah, we got one guy who's really good. We thought he'd represent.
All right, well, here is a... Where'd you guys go?
Up to West Hollywood.
All right, they went into West Hollywood and talked to a passerby about the ruling.
I think it's a great day for the United States of America.
What do you think it's going to be like in West Hollywood here a little later?
I think it's going to be a giant celebration that all people are equal, and I think it's just a tremendous thing for our country.
What are you guys smiling at?
Nothing.
What are you smiling at?
He wanted to get the most gay-sounding guy, and
that's what I thought. All right, anyway, the ruling puts Judge Walker at the forefront of the gay marriage debate. The longtime federal judge was appointed by President Reagan. Walker is a homosexual. According to the San Francisco Chronicle, Walker has never taken pains to disguise or advertise his orientation. So that will be the immediate comment there, though appointed by President Ronald Reagan. 877-876-PHIL is our number always, and also our online address, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Coming up, let's see. Well, a drunk calls 911 asking for a lift to the liquor store. I think that's extremely smart thinking. And we'll tell you why hitting a woman in front of a UFC fighter is probably a bad idea. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And we have World Cup news for you. A Brazilian goalie, his lover, and his wife were among nine people charged with the murder of his former girlfriend who'd been trying to prove he'd fathered her son. I don't know if that's the World Cup. It's a goalie, a Brazilian goalie. Could be a hockey goalie. But I'm going to assume, I'm going to make a big, big leap of faith here and say it is a soccer goalie or a football. The prosecutor filed the charges against Bruno Fernandes das Douras de Souza and eight others in Contagem, which is...
What's that?
That's the name of a town in Brazil.
Contagious?
Not contagious, Contagem. Contagem Minas Gerais. Charges include murder with special circumstances, kidnapping, imprisonment, concealment of a corpse, conspiracy, and corruption of a minor. Eliza Samudio, age 25, remains missing 2 months after she was last reported seen. A former policeman, Marcos Aparicio dos Santos, was also charged with murder, conspiracy, and concealment of a corpse. Wow. All suspects are in jail except for one who's being sought. Sousa's 17-year-old cousin told police the woman was killed. The teen said Sousa watched as the missing woman was asphyxiated, mutilated, and fed to dogs. Oh, my God.
What are you reading, man? It scared the hell out of me. I thought you said a World Cup.
I thought it was the World Cup, too. It's a soccer goalie, but the fun ends there, man. This guy's nuts. Of course, this is some kid talking to the coppers. I don't know whether this is true or not.
I was going to say, maybe the kid making all of it up. Maybe the guy is like just having a beer or something.
The guy was just having a beer, and the chick decides she's going to say he was cutting up a woman and feeding her parts to a dog.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
What are you talking about, man? You don't know if the kid's telling the truth or not.
Anyway, Sousa's new lawyer said he denies all the accusations. Attorney Enrico Carisma said, very charismatically, it's irresponsible to charge the nine suspects with corpse concealment since no body's been found. Well, that's a good point. However, maybe they're hiding it real good.
Yeah.
It's an inconsequence to sign something like that, not having concrete proof. Said Carisma, with a big cigar in his mouth with a big belly. You can almost see this guy, right? Carisma said the goalie will not answer any questions for now. He's not spoken, he won't speak, and he just, all of you guys screw off. He's not going to talk until the defense decides he needs to speak, only then, and that might not happen, said the lawyer as he puffed on a real, real cheap Dominican cigar. Samudio was trying to prove that the goalie fathered her infant son, who's currently being cared for by her mother, her madre. The police investigator described her death to reporters last month. Good God, man, I don't want to hear about this. No, I don't want to hear.
It says here she was deboned and she...
Will you shut up? I don't want to hear about it.
Man.
Ooh. The woman's body was taken to an undisclosed location. The football star was last seen with Samudio in June as they headed for his country home in the state of Minas Gerais. A search for Samudio's body is underway. The Flamengo club said it is suspending the goalie's contract until all facts are known. So he plays for Flamengo, this cat. He stopped representing Sousa when the Flamengo Cub, this guy Felino, was a club attorney. He was representing this guy. But then the club suspended this guy Sousa's contract. The attorney works on behalf of the soccer club. So the club, you know. So there you go, man. Big sports star in Brazil is charged with... We get that kind of stuff here in the States, though. You know,
we have never had a man chop up a girl. Oh, man, Lord.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think. We haven't had anything that gruesome. I can't think of anything that gruesome. But we've had some football stars. We've had American sports stars accused of horrible things. I also got another note here that Neil Armstrong, who walked on the moon, has just turned 80. What do you think of that? So that's great, guys. Nice going.
I don't know what to say.
That's great, man.
Yeah, that's okay. Fine. All right, here is a story that we wanted to get to, actually, and it's pretty spooky. This is this cat that opened up on all these people at a brewery. This was in Connecticut. Family members say that Omar Thornton, that's the man's name, the man suspected in the Tuesday morning massacre at Hartford Distributors, was a quiet, hardworking man who wasn't a violent person but was pushed to the breaking point by harassment at work. Now, look, I'm the first guy to admit that there's all kinds of racist harassment and there's all kinds of terrible working conditions that people are put through sometimes in this world. But I am not going to be a guy that's going to sit here and say with a straight face that that is... that can be used as a legitimate excuse for murdering people. In other words, I think that it's harassment, and I think that it's wrong, and I think the people who do it should be arrested, and I think the man should be given some peace and given the ability to work in a peaceful environment, all of that stuff. But when he turns around and opens up on those people and kills them, now we're talking a whole different crime. Are those hate crimes, those people harassing him, based upon his race? Maybe. Should they be arrested? Maybe. Should it be investigated? Maybe. I don't know. All that stuff. I'm willing to look into all of it. But nobody's going to sit here and tell me that that gives the guy the excuse that he needs to bring a gun to work and kill everybody. And I feel the same way about kids that get bullied at school. Sorry, don't buy it. The bullying thing, I know it happens, I know it's bad. It is not an excuse for killing people, it's not an excuse for shooting people, and it should never be brought up as a reason why the kid brought the gun to school, why he was bullied. Bull crap. The kid's got a screw loose. You understand?
You don't think a kid could go and just bring a gun on account of it?
No, I do not, man. No, I do not. I know some kids get bullied. They get bullied bad, you know, and you got to do something about it. You got to get some adults to intercede for you. You got to do something, right? Your parents, the school. But bringing a gun to school and saying, I'm going to kill somebody. Why? Because I get bullied? No way. Bull crap. Nobody's feeding me that. You got a kid with a screw loose is as sure as God made green apples, man, if he made them at all. And some days I don't think so.
Me too.
Here is Steve Hollander, Omar's former boss. He's calling 911. You're going to hear this to report the rampage.
911. I need the cops here at Hartford Distributors right away. Shooting.
What's going on? Who got
Somebody got shot. I got shot.
Okay, I need some information, sir. Who got shot?
We need the cops. Omar Thornton's shooting people. I just got shot.
Okay, I need to know what his name is.
His name is Omar Thornton. He's a black guy. Get the cops here right away, please.
Sir, stay on the line with me. My partner's
bleeding all over the place.
Okay. How many people got shot?
I don't know.
Okay, you don't know. And you're shot where?
In my head.
You're shot in the head?
Yeah.
And what's your name?
My name is Steve Hollander.
Okay. Was that medical help? Who's the person shooting people again?
His name is Omar Thornton. He's a black guy. He's wearing shorts.
Okay, black mask, shorts, anything else? What kind of gun?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
You didn't see it. And where are you in the building, sir?
I'm hiding in an office.
Now he describes Mr. Thornton chasing after people.
Yeah, there's people running all over the place.
Okay.
I just see him running out. He's running away right now. He's shooting at somebody else. Yeah, he's still shooting.
He's shooting outside.
He's shooting at a girl.
Okay. How many people are down, sir? Just put him up and say we're on the way.
He's still running after people. He's not leaving.
Okay, well, can you see what kind of gun he has, sir?
It's a black gun. I don't know. He's wearing a blue shirt and blue shorts. He's still shooting. I hear guns out there.
Let's beep the word, though, huh?
He fired him.
Today,
just now, before he started shooting. He's chasing people out in the parking lot.
Make sure we beep those bad words while we have a guy shooting people, chasing people. A guy got shot in the head and he's bleeding all over the place. But let's not hear the nasty word. Good God. All right.
What happened?
The guy was shooting here? The guy was shooting... Phil Henry Show, produced by Jason Rantz, technical director Charles Wagon, our associate producer Dan Northcraft, world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
Yeah!
Phil Henry.